y'all, and welcome back to the final episode for this season of Christian Girls Pop, and under the theme Sunday School Stories. Y'all, this is the grand finale. I'm so excited for y'all to hear this final episode, but I know y'all are hearing grand finale and you're like, wait, is it over? Is it done? I'm just taking a break. I'll be back in the fall with some brand new episodes, but I wanted you to get one last good final banger episode on your way out. And I'm very excited for this final episode. So as you know, we've been doing Sunday School Stories theme for the entire couple months, and we will continue to do it through the rest of 2023. This is a theme to help you see that these stories in the Bible are relatable. It's not just the story, but these are real life experiences that so many of us have had in our own lives. And this week is no different. This week, I have an amazing guest speaker. Once again, all the speakers have been awesome, and I know y'all are going to enjoy this one as well. I have here Miss Brittany Hollis, and let me tell y'all a little bit about her. So, she is a spiritual growth cultivator, teacher, and author. In 2020, she actually launched Divine Bloom Ministries to equip women to grow and stay rooted in God. She's passionate about others reaching their God-given potential. She pioneered and successfully launched the Growth Bible Study Method and Journal, and she has made it her life's mission to help others to experience the joy, peace, and freedom that she has found in a life rooted in Christ. Very excited for this week's episode. Brittany, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Stephanie. I really, really appreciate you having me on your podcast. It is an honor. And then you said this is the finale, so I'm feeling extra, extra special. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, for sure. I know that you have some great, great, just amazing insight, testimonies, all the thing that you're going to bring to this show. I don't want to spoil it, so I'm going to let you share in a little bit. So we are talking about Hannah and Samuel. That is our Sunday School story for the episode, Hannah and Samuel. So you may have heard the story, you may have not. Either way, we're going to get into it. So you can find this story in 1 Samuel chapter 1. So 1 Samuel is in the Old Testament. And Samuel is actually a very prominent man of God that we'll read. You can read a lot about through 1 and 2 Samuel. But with this story, we're going to get his origin, how he came to be, how he was brought into this life. It was not without trial and tribulation, and that's what we're going to see here. So what I'm going to do is just summarize it a little bit before we deep dive into the story. So with this story of Hannah and Samuel, Hannah was one of two wives. Okay. I know it's Bible times. Y'all got to give her some grace. Okay. Like they did things a little different. Okay. I know that's not the vibe anymore, but with Hannah, she was one of two wives. Here's the problem. The other wife, Peninnah, she could have children. Hannah could not. And her husband still loved her and he still cared for her. But you know, as a woman, sometimes it's hard when you can't have children and you have that desire. So it created some tension between her and the other wife, right? Because the other wife would mock her and basically like, look at me, I have kids, you don't. Like she really mocked Hannah for being barren. So this caused Hannah a lot of grief, a lot of sadness, a lot of sorrow in her life. And so what we can see through this chapter is she's desperately praying for God to move on her behalf and for her to be able to have a child. She's praying in the temple, and y'all, she's praying so hard that the priest that's in the temple thinks that she's drunk. Like she looks crazy. That's how bad, that's how desperate she is in prayer. And so basically the priest is like, hey, sis, you good? Like, what's up? Why are you drunk? She's like, no, I'm not drunk. I'm pouring out my soul to the Lord. That's what the word of God says. And he basically blesses her. And he says, may God bless you and honor your petition, honor your prayers. He's basically giving her a blessing over her prayer. And so she felt renewed. She felt encouraged. She went and worshiped. She was able to conceive a child and she named him Samuel. So through this story, we can see the power of prayer. We can see the topic of infertility. We can see just so much within this one chapter. So like I said, that's 1 Samuel chapter 1. That's a quick summary, but now we're going to do a deep dive into it. So Brittany, I'm going to turn it over to you. Why did you pick this story for the finale episode?
Well, it's kind of loaded, so I'll give you the quick summary version. Well, in 2020, I launched Divine Bloom, and I was so excited about it. I hit the ground running, and in my mind, you know, I had this vision and mission, and I said that every month I would do a Bible study. Every month I would do a community service outreach, you know, and on top of that, I was going to do YouTube videos every week. And I also said I was going to do a Bible study called Women in Bloom. Okay. Now catch this. I have a full-time job. I'm married and I have a child. And I had all of these big haughty goals, like, okay, I'm going to do all of this. And like I said, the Women in Bloom, I just knew every single month I was going to cover a different woman in the Bible and just, you know, just take it all and go far with it. Well, it didn't happen like that. So I started the Bible study on the Women in Bloom Bible study. And what I realized is that it is so vital when you study scripture that you have to take your time. You have to allow the scriptures to really seep into your heart and to some places maybe that are hurt and wounded, or maybe, you know, you've overlooked. And for so long, I didn't realize that I had been rushing through scripture. And so it was in doing the Women in Bloom Bible study that I learned to really slow down. And the first woman that I covered was Hannah. And so that's really why I chose this story, because again, I started this in 2020, and still to this day, I can't read the whole chapter without crying, because it really touches areas in my life that were hurting and that needed healing. And it relates to me so much because like Hannah, she was longing for something from God so bad, and it felt like she couldn't have it. And that's kind of my story. I deal with something called secondary infertility. So I was able to have one child, but what it means is that I can't go on to have another one. And so I know that pain of wanting something so bad and so desperately from God and not being able to have it. And in these few verses, we see just such a range of emotions, right? We see sadness, we see bitterness, we see bullying, right? We see frustration and disappointment. And all of these things we experience at some point in our life. And it's just so good to see, hey girl, you're not alone. You know, she went through it, and she shows us what to do in that pain, in that turmoil, and in that sadness. And so that's why I chose this story. Again, one, to show me, to teach me to slow down and really take it in. And also because I relate to it so much, and I learned, you know, how to deal with my emotions in that sadness and in that grief. So yeah, Hannah's my girl.
Yeah, no, I love, everybody has that one story in the Bible that's like, this is me. Like, I yeah. absolutely relate, you know? And man, it's crazy when you see those type of stories, like kind of like blow up in their face, like, man, right. This is really my story now. Like, it's not mm-hmm. just something I'm reading. So I want to hit on the first point first. I definitely agree. Slowing down is key. Like, I think a lot of times we're just checking the Bible off of like a checklist. We don't know what we're reading. We just right. got word genealogy. You can't pronounce the names. You're just flipping yeah. through stuff. Like, we are not getting it. And I've done that. I've read the Bible in a year, and ask me what I learned.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's been times when I'm like, yeah, this was not productive, you know?
Right.
We think it's productive because we've done something, but it's not like sticking, you know, it's not yeah. a long-term thing. So I definitely agree. Slowing down is absolutely necessary, because that's how you retain the information, you know, like yeah. you don't want like a drive-through Bible, like sit down, have a nice exactly. dinner with the Bible, you know,
yeah. meditate on it, yeah. chew it up. You know, yeah. that's what meditate actually means. It means to chew it up, spit it out, let it digest all the way in, and touch those parts in your life that you leave uncovered, you know, those places that you don't want nobody to know about. That's what the word of God does. It changes you from the inside out. So yeah,
it truly sure. does. If you let it,
that's the key.
The word of God do its part, it will.
That's right.
Yeah. But also, I love, thanks for sharing, you know, that part of your story, because I know that when there are all of those emotions involved, sometimes it can be hard to be like, man, like, God really brought me through those things, you know? Infertility is something that we actually have not talked about in the podcast episode at all this season. So I love that you're sharing this, because that's something that unfortunately so many women do struggle with. Yeah. And I believe that it's one, it is difficult, but sometimes it's so difficult that we just don't talk about it. Right. And it's hard, you know, when you're struggling with it, you're processing all of these emotions, but you're doing it alone and you don't have community around you, or maybe you think no one else understands, or maybe, you know, you're very uncomfortable about sharing that part, which is understandable, but it's hard to heal because no one knows that you're struggling, you know, like those are definitely very tough. For me, that's not been something I personally struggled with, but in my former life, before I went into full-time ministry, I was a nurse and I was a labor and delivery nurse. And so I got to see the beautiful moments of bringing life into the world, but I got to see a lot of the hard times too, of, you know, all the births that didn't go as planned, to keep it less graphic, but it was hard, you know, being able to be with women in that moment, knowing this is, I can't even imagine the emotions that you felt behind that. Could you share a little bit about what that looked like for you as far as emotional?
Emotionally? And it relates a lot to Hannah. It felt kind of unfair. You know, she said that, well, the scripture tells us that God closed up her womb. And I felt like God did that to me. And I had the audacity, and I don't know if it was audacity, it was just honesty with God. I'm like, look, God, I did it your way. I waited till I got married. You know, I followed your law. I did what you told me to do. I've been teaching this word of God, and you let this happen to me? Yeah. And so a lot of it was just disappointment. Like, I did everything you told me to do, and this happened to me. And, you know, with Hannah, same thing. You know, in the time, you know, Israel's history, like, they were in a really dark place. You know, it talks about in Judges how everybody turned and they were doing everything that was right in their own eyes. But here we have, you know, Elkanah and his family, they go up to the temple. And so that shows us that there was still a remnant. There were still a few people who still serve God. And Hannah was a part of that remnant. And so I felt like that too. I'm like, I'm a part of this remnant. Why did this happen to me? And what I learned through it all is just that how sovereign God is. And sometimes things don't go according to our plans, but that still doesn't mean that it's not in the will of God. And when you release those, you know, feelings of disappointment, and I felt shame too, because again, like, I have a huge family. All of my cousins, they have 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 kids. And here I am, you know, like, God, what about me? But when I gave him those emotions and all of that heartache and disappointment that I was feeling, that's when he really started to heal me. But for so long, I covered that up. Like, oh, I'm fine. I'm okay. I'm happy, Brittany. And that didn't do me any good. So yeah, just like Hannah did, like, she was honest with God and she poured out to him. That's when healing began. Same with me.
Yeah. I think sometimes we're a little scared to be honest with God.
Yeah.
I talked about this earlier in the season, but sometimes we've had that mentality for so long, or maybe we've been taught that, like, you don't question God, like, don't,
right.
Which, to a point, yeah, don't be out here questioning God.
Right.
You're going to get mollywop like Job did.
Okay.
Do not. Like, let's be clear. But there is the element where you can be honest with God, where you can let God know, like, this is what I'm feeling. Yeah. I honor you. I revere you. I have a holy fear for you. I still will. I'm trying my best to praise you, but this is how I feel. And I think you're so right. The moment that we get honest with God, that's when the healing can begin. Because before that, we're just stuffing it down, or we're just trying to smooth it over. Like, yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine. Knowing that he can see our heart and that he knows our motives and he knows our thoughts. So he's like, you're not okay.
Yeah.
You're not absolutely okay. You're upset with me. Let's talk this out. You know, like, here's the thing. Like, we're not going to catch God off guard.
Right. Like, nothing catches him by surprise.
You're mad? No, like, he already knows. But there, you know, that's when we get to bring it to him and say, Lord, I'm really struggling. I know that everybody can relate to that, whether it's infertility, finances, family, health, whatever it is. We've all been there where we're like, Lord,
where are you? Yeah.
I mean, David, you can look all through the Psalms. David's like, how long, Lord? Like, how long are you going to let my enemies triumph over me? Like, David felt forsaken. We can see it time and time again. Hannah was struggling.
Yeah.
No, but she was at the point of just like, Lord, I'm here at the temple, but what are we doing about this? Yeah. And I love that you brought that point up about basically like, Lord, I'm doing all the right things, because that's the first thing we bring up. And it's, I feel like we kind of have a little right to, like, because in our head it's like, I do this, I get blessed. You know, like,
right. And it doesn't work like that sometimes.
It's like the math is not mathing right now.
Right.
How did I do what I need to do? But I don't, you know, I don't get it. And it can be frustrating. Like, I want people to understand, like, it is okay to be frustrated by what's going on. Because
and sometimes you suffer. Like, that's just a part of it. Sometimes as believers, we suffer. And we don't want to hear that, but we do.
Like, I can't not tell you that, because then you have a false reality of what being a believer is. I wish that all of my problems went away as soon as I said yes to Jesus.
Wouldn't that be nice?
It would be lovely, but that was not the case at all. But I think, you know, like, when we see other people, here's the thing. I'm going to just keep it real. When we see other people blessed, that we are like, how you get what I want? But you're not living for God. I am. Make it make sense. It's like let's talk about it. A lot of people that struggle with infertility, they're frustrated when they see people having kids who don't want their kids, who don't take care of them, who abuse them. And you're like, Lord, I would do none of those things. I just want a child.
Let me tell you about that. So through all this pain and all of this disappointment, my family, we decided, you know what, we're going to give back. We started fostering. And so it was a blessing. We had so many kids come in and, you know, out of our house. And we got to one particular child and everything was so great. And we thought we would probably adopt this baby. And what happened, like the last week before everything went through, they gave the baby back to the mom and she had all kind of issues and she really didn't want the baby. And that was like another blow. I'm like, God, we doing this again? But back to your point, like sometimes it just seems so unfair. Like, God, why? But, and not to sound cliche-ish or churches, through it all, like his grace remains sufficient and he'll give you the grace that you need to keep going forward. And in that time that we were able to serve that child, it was such a blessing. And we don't know what we shielded him from or protected him from or, you know, imparted in him in the almost year that we had him. So it's tough. Yeah.
It is. No. And I love that you just went for it and you brought up the tough moments, because one, like I said, we can't act like everything is just, you know, peaches and meadows and flowers and tulips and everything's great, because it's not. But it's hard when you get a blow and then you get another blow.
Another blow.
like, and I know specifically with infertility, like that's what it can seem like. Like my friends that have struggled with it and they're like, another month, I'm still not pregnant. Another month, you know, and for you, it's like, I almost had another little thing that, and it's smashed out from me. So what did that do for your faith?
Oh man, I believe that it built up my faith, because it knocked it down and it built it back up. My idea of faith, like, oh God, I believe you because I have a plan A, B, C, D, and I know it's going to work out. That was my honest idea of faith. And so going through this, when there was no plan B, there is no backup solution, and all I had was to trust God, that's what really grew my faith. And honestly, it just, that pain, it really turned into purpose. Like, that's really how Divine Bloom was launched, because I'm so thankful that I had something to anchor on to and something to hold on to, which was the word of God. And it made me realize how many people, they don't have that, Stephanie. So many people, they'll grasp to anything just for life. Like, okay, let me try some crystals over here. Let me try lighting some stuff over here. Let me try drinking over here. Just grasping, grasping, grasping. But I'm so glad that I had the word of God that anchored me. And I said, you know what? I'm going to make it my mission to tell everybody I can about the word of God and who Christ is, and to have a firm foundation, something that you can hold on to when life tries to uproot you. So if anything, it grew my faith tremendously.
I love to hear that testimony, because I know that there may be someone is listening and they don't have that. They're like, it rocked me to my core. Maybe you got angry with God because of what happened.
And
it, those emotions, like I tell people, anger is an emotion like everything else. Obviously, you know, bring it down, control it, you know, don't let it control you. But God gave us these emotions to feel, and we are allowed to feel these emotions about our situation. But I love the perspective that you had that showed, yeah, let's be real. It knocked me down. It took me out for a while, but look at what I'm able to do now. Look how God has brought me through that. And yes, the word of God last year for me was, that was a very hard spiritual year for me. And the word of God anchored me. And it's like, I do not want to sound like just the church mother that's like, right. Oh, it's the word of God, but it really is. Like, I don't have another, I don't have a formula. I don't have a remedy. I can just tell you what's going to work for you. And it's going to be the word of God. Like, I learned to literally just sit with the word for hours and just let it renew me and help me to renew my mind. Because I was like, okay, if I believe these things to be true, if I know this is truth, then this is what's going to feed me. This is what's going to nourish my soul. And it keeps you, man. It keeps
it
you.
It sure does.
It's nothing else will. Like you said,
absolutely.
The drugs, the drinks, the man. Yeah.
It's temporary. It'll make you feel better for a little bit. Mm-hmm. It didn't make you feel worse, but the word of God, because it changes you, like I said, from the inside out. Yeah,
that's beautiful. So with this story, like we said, there's a lot of stuff that we can go through. There's a lot of topics here. What are some of the verses that stick out to you the most?
So my favorite is 1 Samuel 1 and 19. And I want to make sure that I read it correctly, but it talks about how they go up early to worship the Lord. So this is after Hannah, you know, had prayed, and Eli, he thought that she was drunk because she was crying so hard. I've been there before, like tears, like it looks like somebody probably beat me up, because have you ever cried so much where you don't even have tears left to come out?
You're just dry heaving.
The dry heaving, right. That kind of cry. She was probably doing a little bit of that. So after that, it talks about how they went up to worship the Lord. And then it says, this is my favorite verse. I get tears just thinking about it, reading it. It said that the Lord remembered her. And that's just so good to me, because there have been times in my life where I felt like God forgot about me. And so just seeing this, the Lord remembered her. And, you know, in that original language, that word remembered is the Lord acted on her behalf. And I'm just so thankful for all the times in my life when God remembered Brittany, because there have been times when I forgot about God. I forgot to put him first. I forgot, you know, to share his love with, you know, to others. And God still remembered me. And so this is just a reminder that even through the tears and even through this is the disappointment, God sees us. And it says that he remembered her. He remembered Hannah. And I'm so thankful. And it just made me think about all of the other scriptures about God remembering, like in Genesis, we see God remembering Noah. He said, God remembers. So anytime I see that, it just does something to me that God remember. He remembers us. So that's what stuck out to me.
That'll make you shout. I'm about to pick on that. No, because this is the thing. The enemy wants you to believe that you are forgotten.
Yes.
Because if you believe that, then you'll walk away from your faith. You'll abandon everything that you know. Because why go to church? Why go serve? The Lord's forgotten about me.
Exactly.
You know? He wants you to get to that place to where you believe that lie. And so this, man, that verse, yes. Just know, and it's like, that's been people's prayers. I know that's been mine. Lord, remember me.
Please remember me.
Not that he forgot about me, but I just need him
right.
to remember me, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. Another thing about that specific verse that I like is actually the beginning of the verse when it says they rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord. The thing is, they worshiped before the baby was there.
Before it was done. That's another shout. Girl, where's our organ at?
Got a tambourine around here somewhere.
Come on, tambourine.
But that's the question for us. Like, will we worship but not even seeing the thing that we've prayed for?
Yes.
Because if you look at the timeline, she worshiped, then he went back and they did the do. And then the baby came.
Before it even happened.
Before anything happened, she came straight for the temple and said, let's go and worship. And
like, she knew it was done. Like, oh, okay.
She said, okay, cool. Bet. Let's go worship.
Yeah.
Like, the faith of Hannah is seen in this story. The faith for her to, one, to keep praying and not just give up on it altogether. And then to believe, okay, priest said, I got the blessing. It is so. It is done. Let's worship.
Okay.
Our perspective. And my challenge will even go a step further than that. Not just to worship before the thing happens, but worship even if that thing.
Even. Oh, that's a word right there. Even if.
even if
you know that was my praise I had to give, because in my situation, there's no way humanly possible that I could have another child. But God, I thank you for the one that I do have.
Yeah.
And if I don't go on to adopt another child, God, I thank you. You've been faithful to me. You've carried me. You gotta have an even if praise. Come on. That's good.
That's it. That's what the Hebrew boys had. The Hebrew and Dan. Yeah. They said, we'll pray. Even if he don't deliver us, he's still good.
He's still good. He's still God. That's good.
Here's the thing. That's real churchy. That'll make you shout, but it's not easy. At all.
No, because we want the blessing. We want what we prayed for, right?
Yeah.
It sounds good. Mm-hmm. Oh, even if, but what if it don't come?
Yeah.
What if they're not healed?
What if you're not? Yeah. And that's the thing, that those are the moments that honestly define your faith. It's great. It's awesome to say God is good when life is great and you got the nice car and you just got the $1 million house. But saying God is good when your child just died, saying God is good when you just got the diagnosis, saying God is good when your car just got wrecked, saying God is good when you have 2 cents in the bank account, that is not as easy to say. And that's when your faith is really on the line, because now it's not a matter of like what I see equating to his goodness. It's just, he is good, period.
Period. Yeah.
And that's not easy. That's not easy, because it's like, right. Can I add a comma? Can I add maybe
semicolon?
Yeah, a little semicolon. Right. Only if these things happen, he's good. Yeah. No, he is good. He is holy. He just, whatever attributes we know about God, those things are definite. They are there.
They're
unchangeable.
Yeah.
There's no independent clause on the side. There's nothing. No, it's just a period.
Yeah.
And those are the moments that really cause that we will pray prayers that we've never prayed. We'll pray harder than we ever have. We will feel more emotions than probably we ever have. But those are the moments that really define our faith. They really do. Yeah.
And they build our faith too.
Yes.
Sure. Yeah.
Yes, for sure. Did you have any other verses that stuck out to you?
Just that one.
Yeah.
That one. I mean, like I said, I can't.
The whole chapter. Yeah.
I just start bawling, start boohooing.
Yeah.
Like, oh, gosh.
The other, I know, seriously. That the one right there, though, the Lord remembered him, remembered her. The other verse I just wanted to bring up, just because it's probably popular and somebody may have seen this verse but didn't know what story it was related to, is chapter 1, verse 27.
Oh, yeah.
For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to him. In verse 28 says, therefore, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. So she gave the baby right back to the Lord. She said, Lord, he is yours. I dedicate him to you. Her faith is amazing. Her faith. I would have been like, this mine now. I got it.
You know how long I've been praying and you want me to get it back? What?
She gave it back willingly. But for this child I have prayed. That's a very popular verse that people will use, especially during infertility times. And it's awesome to just see, you know, what scripture is correlated to, because it's not just, I'm praying for a child. Yes, we pray for, you know, children that come into the world. But knowing that this child, this was no easy feat to get this baby
go through. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's amazing to just be able to, once again, like I've said it already, but I just love being able to read stories that we definitely can relate to, you know, like infertility is still happening all the time. The statistics are like 1 in 4 have had some kind of miscarriage or some sort of infertility. And it's a hard thing. And just like with Job with suffering, we don't have all the answers. We don't always know why. Some of it is maybe our health, and there's things that we can adjust on our ends to make ourselves more fertile. Some of it is just our wombs. God has not opened our wombs.
Yeah.
I don't have the answers. I wish I knew why things happen the way they are. I don't, but I can just keep leading you back to the source of the one who can heal you as you struggle and as you grieve. And
absolutely. And you don't know what story God may be trying to write through you, because I think about Hannah, and, you know, during that time, infertility was seen as like, oh my gosh, like you can't have no kids, you know, like now, okay, it's fine. But it was really looked down upon during this time in history. And so for God to be able to use her to birth such a significant part of you know, Israel's history is huge to me because it reminds me that God, he uses who he wants to use.
Period.
Because on paper, it looks like he should have used Penina, however you may want to say her name, because, you know, she was able to have children and her name means jewel. So everything on the surface, it looks like that she would have been the one to birth such a significant person, but God used Hannah. And so that goes back to my point. You never know what story God may be writing through your pain, through your hurt. So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you brought up a good point. Like, Hannah birthed Samuel, who was such a man of God. And like I said, we can continue to read of just the man of God he is through the next chapters. And we don't read about Penina's little kid.
What happened to her?
Where you at now? Who's laughing now? I'm just playing.
That's the pettiness.
That is the pettiness. But you're right. You never know the story that God's trying to write, for sure. So through this season of infertility, or becoming aware of the fact that you were in secondary infertility, not being able to have kids, processing all that with the Lord, what are things that you learned along the journey, and how was like your faith built and all that throughout that season?
Man, it just showed me so much how God is always working behind the scenes. And even when it doesn't look like God is working, he's still working. I told you that my family, we decided to foster during that time. And I didn't understand why, because like foster care, that was something like, oh, them poor kids, God bless them, we're going to pray for them. But dealing with it like every day, face to face, it just changed how I saw everything and my level of compassion and empathy. And now I can't overlook it. And yeah. I don't think I never would have been that way if I wouldn't have went through what I went through. And so sometimes it just opens up our eyes to see things we never would have seen before. And I'm so thankful for it, because I'm never the same. And again, I don't know the impact that we had in some of those children's lives that came in our house during that time. So yeah. What I learned about God is that he's always working, even when we can't see it, even when we don't know what's happening, he's always working, and that he is sovereign, and that we just have to allow him to write our stories. So
yeah, that's beautiful. And you're right. You never know the story that God's trying to write.
Yeah.
We're just the paper. Let him write the story. He's got the pen. And as long as we make ourselves willing and available, we will be absolutely mind blown by what he makes of our lives.
Yes.
And how he uses us to bless others as well. I definitely can relate to the foster care. My three siblings are adopted. And so we went through the foster care process and all the adoption and stuff with that. And so it was, you know, not planned on our end at all. We always say that, but the Lord knew what he was doing, and yeah. We're grateful for this. And so, yeah, like as you heal, as you process and rightfully so grieve the different emotions that need to be grieved, always just remember that one, God is fighting for you, that he's on your side, that he's not against you.
Absolutely.
The enemy wants us to believe that. Sometimes our own minds will want us to believe that just because of what our situation looks like. He's not against you. And he's also not forgotten about you, and he has not overlooked you, and he's not forsaken you. And so we can trust those promises to be true over our lives. And we absolutely can just hold fast to those promises. We can cling to those words of truth and let those be the thing, like you said earlier, to anchor us, to carry us through those seasons. And I pray that for those that are watching or listening, that you would have your own testimony as well, to where you'd be able to say, I was able to birth this ministry, this project, this job from this season. I was able to help someone else because of this season. And so don't rush the process. Take the time that's necessary to make sure that you're in a good spot. But once you are, let the Lord use you in the way that he best sees fit, and don't focus so much on what you don't have or the problems that you went through or are going through, but how God is making you better, the things that he's doing in and through you, and even begin to pray for him to show you what this will look like to be able to move forward out of the season and to be able to help others on the other side of things. There's always an other side. And I want to share this story. So I kind of give this analogy of driving down the freeway, right? You're going one way, the other side is going the other way. And I'm real bad about checking the weather. Like a couple months ago, we had a whole tornado hit this area and I barely had an umbrella with me. Like no. I'm so bad about checking the weather, y'all. So thankfully I was fine. My friends got some damage, but I just thought it was going to be a rainy day and it turned into a whole other thing. Anyways, the point with that being, I don't always know when there's a storm coming when I'm driving. And the way that I found out that works for me to be able to see, oh, is it raining up ahead? Obviously, I can't see because I still got to go. I look at the people coming the other way and I check their windshields and I see, do they have their wipers on? And so if they have their wipers on, that tells me, oh, okay, like the rain is pretty close because they still got their wipers on. They haven't turned them off yet. So the rain is coming. And so that lets me know, okay, one, there's a storm coming, but two, it can't be that bad because they made it out. Right? Like they didn't get stranded somewhere. And so that hit me like years ago. And I still, to this day, I use that, but that like spoke to my life so much because when we see the storms, right? We're like, oh, there's a storm coming. I see some black clouds up ahead. And if we don't see anybody else coming the other way, we're like, is everybody dying in the storm? Like, where are they? You know, but if you see people coming out, they got their wipers on, but it's like, their wipers are like, look, sis, there's a storm, but it's going to be all right. Put your wipers on. You go make it through. And that's what you get to do.
That's so good. You
get through the storm. I'm about to take off running in this.
Girl. I'm about to throw a shoe at you. Virtually. That's a whole word. Do you hear me?
Get through your storm so that you can let someone else know that you can get through a storm.
And so many people not telling what they went through. And like you said, we looking like, oh, this just me. I'm by myself in this. Oh, that's a good word right there.
That's so true. And that's why we have to heal. Like no one wants to really talk about it when it's fresh, right? Which is understandable. But at some point there is time for you to be able to share what you've been through to encourage the next person. Yeah. Like there's parts of my story that I tell people, some people would consider taboo. And I'm like, well, I got to tell somebody. I know I'm not the only one out here struggling.
Right.
Like that the enemy wanted me to believe that I was the only one. And so that's why I kept it to myself for so long. And once I finally was telling people and helping other women, they're like, oh yeah, me too. And I'm like, you too. What do you mean you too? I was the only one. So girl, turn the wipers on. Let somebody else know that you can get through, that they can get through their storm because you got through it. And that's what it looks like to go and share what God is doing in, or has done in our lives. That's the beautiful, powerful part of our testimony.
That is so good. That's the truth. That is the truth.
Yeah.
And that's the power too of the word of God. Just seeing, like you said, this whole series that you're doing on Sunday school lessons and how they relate. Like we've seen Hannah's pain and her story. It teaches us, you know, how we manage our pain in a way that brings glory to God. And so back to the Bible study, how important it is, because you will see yourself in somebody's story to see like, okay, they overcame it. So can I. So yeah, that's so good.
Yeah. I love that.
I need to write that down.
So I wanted to switch gears a little bit before we wrap up this episode. So you mentioned that you picked this story because this was one of the first stories that you taught on for Divine Bloom. Mm-hmm. But let's backtrack it just a little bit. How did Divine Bloom get launched? What was the story, the thought process behind the launch for the ministry?
Okay. So in 2020, big pandemic, you know, how that went down. And so our church goes virtual and our pastor, he sends out a big message like, hey, if anybody is interested in teaching a virtual Sunday school lesson, this is like full circle. Oh my goodness, because we're talking about Sunday school. But he said, if anyone would like to teach a virtual Bible study lesson, a Sunday school lesson, submit it. And I'm like, I've taught Bible study for years and years. And I'm like, I'm not doing no virtual. I'm not doing it. And I'm like, well, that thing started to convict me, you know, like when you can't sleep at night, like I probably should, but I don't want to, I should. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to do it. And Stephanie, when I tell you, after I hit record, something just came over me, just this peace. And I felt like I am doing what I was called to do, like what I was born and created to do. I can't even describe the feeling. And so the next week I created another video and I said, well, let me just start a YouTube channel. And the YouTube channel just like took off and it just started growing. And God just started giving me ideas. And I started to network with other ministries. And then people started sending me Christian products to review. And it just grew and grew. And it was simply because I said yes to God through, you know, a call from my pastor. And that's another thing about the importance of, you know, working in your local church, but that's a whole nother message. But but when I told God yes, it's just like that yes just opened up so many doors. And again, it came back from that pain that I experienced and just that hope that I felt in being anchored in God's word. And I wanted everybody to experience that. And so that's how Divine Bloom really was started. I wanted everybody to experience what it means to be rooted in God. That's our motto. Our theme is to stay rooted in God. And so, yeah, that's Divine Bloom. And we're still going. And I'm just so thankful, again, to just be doing what it is that God has called me to do. It brings me just so much joy and peace. Is not easy because a girlfriend gets tired. All right.
Truly.
Tired. But just knowing that it's my calling and I was chosen to do it, it keeps me going.
I love that. And I like the whole bloom rooted thing. That's
because when you stay rooted, you could thrive, you could flourish and bloom into who God has called you to be.
Amen. Amen. I love that. Very catchy. Yeah. But no, it is true. Literally, you can't do much without being rooted in God. You can, but it's not going to be that beneficial for you.
It's not going to last.
It's not. You will wilt up and die, you know, spiritually. But I love what you said about just being in your element. You know, like, you know when you're in God's will. You also know when you're not in God's will.
Ooh.
Because I've done some things I'm like, I should have prayed about that. Like, good things, right? Like, it's not like anything sinful. Like, it might have been just doing a podcast with somebody or serving at a ministry event. I'm like, I didn't pray.
This don't feel right.
Yeah. I should go. Right. But when you are in God's will, when you are doing what you're supposed to do, especially when he's trying to get you to do that new thing, he just overwhelms you with the peace. He's like, this is it, sis. Like, go do that thing. It just works. Like, it does.
You can't describe it. Like, what is this?
Yeah.
My family, you know, the only way I've seen ministry is traditional, like Sunday inside of a building. So this whole online virtual space was like, you doing what? You know, but it's exactly where God wanted me to be.
Yeah, no, I definitely can relate because that was me leaving my nursing career to do full-time ministry. Everybody's like, sis, what? I'm like, you're going to do what? With what money? Like, what do you mean? You know, and it's like, this was my dream career, which I put quotes, but only because like my dream is to live for Jesus, right? But in the secular marketplace, that was my dream job. I had two, actually. I was working two nursing jobs and they were both my dream jobs. And when the Lord says time is up, you know, we had some dialogue back and forth, but I did it, right? But as crazy as it was, as big of a transition as it was, like, there's so much peace in what I'm doing. Like I said, 2022 was crazy. There was a lot of, stretching in that season. But when I sit down and I do stuff for Christian Goals Pop, I'm like, oh, I love it. Like, there's days when I'm a little stressed because of deadlines and stuff, but like, I enjoy what I get to do. Even when I was making the decision to leave, I remember feeling so much peace, like anytime on my days off when I was doing stuff for the ministry. And I'm like, man, I want to do this all the time. And now I get to, like, when you're in your element, whatever it is, it may not be ministry in the sense that, you know, like me and Brittany sitting here with a women's ministry. It may be a secular marketplace job, doctor, lawyer, teacher, whatever.
Yeah.
If God has called you to that thing, you will feel the peace that comes with it. And you will know, like, this is it.
Yeah,
it hits different
every time.
But I love that you've been able to launch that and be consistent with it. And as I was telling you beforehand, but I'll tell you, since it's the finale, I'll say it on the episode. I always tell the people that are on here, I don't be having just anybody random pull up on the episode, because somebody gonna say some crazy stuff. I'm gonna have to edit it out.
You never know today, these days. People switch too. Like, one moment they like this, the next, just don't know.
Never know. But one thing I did as I was praying about people that I was going to have on the episode, one thing that I looked for, along with substance and just really like the heart for God's word and for his people, was consistency. I looked for that because I tell people, a lot of people get excited. A lot of people start stuff and I'm here to cheer you on. But in the back of my head, I'm like, all right, let's see what you're doing in 6 months. Are you still doing the thing, you know, now that it's, now that nobody's liking your posts, now that nobody's pulling up at your events anymore, you know, like, are you still consistent with it? And so that's one major thing that I looked for as I was seeking out the people that I had to be on the episodes, because I want to see if you can be consistent. That means that you have a heart for God. You're obedient and you're consistently obedient. And and it shows in your work. And so Brittany, it definitely shows through your ministry, and you have so many great resources and videos and all the things that people can watch. And so I applaud you, one, but I also want you to tell people where they can find you. How can they see all the things that I just talked about?
Oh, wow. Glory to God for all you said, but that's so true. You got to stay consistent because sometimes that little algorithm, I'm like, you know what? I'm not even paying attention to this thing. Yes. I'm just going to do what God told me to do, say what he told me to say, and log off. But anywho, my website is mydivinebloom.com, and I launched what's called a Stay Rooted Shop. And there you could find Christian resources to help you to stay rooted in God. I'm talking Bibles and planners and journals, scripture cards, just tools that you need to help you to stay rooted in God. And I also have free resources as well, different reading plans that you could just download and follow along with. I also have a growth journal that will help you to study scripture and break it down in a way that's easy to understand and to stay consistent with it. So all that can be found at www.mydivinebloom.com. And I have a YouTube channel as well. All of my social media handles are the same. It's at The Divine Bloom.
Y'all make sure you check her out. All the links will be in the podcast notes. I want y'all to get connected. Like she said, a bunch of great resources to let you know that you don't have to do this alone. You don't have to just struggle and fumble your way through scripture or just through your walk with God. I hope that through this season that you've been able to see, one, that there's other women who get it, who understand what you're going through, who've had their own experiences. Two, that the word of God is alive and well and so applicable to our lives. But three, that you are not alone, that we're all a community. We are a body of Christ collectively, and we just want to be a blessing. And each week there's been amazing speakers with their resources for you to check out. And if it connects, if you can relate to it, go ahead, find it, click it, do it, follow it, all the things. Maybe you're like, I don't have the need for that, but maybe my friend does. Pass the links along, maybe buy it for a friend for a birthday. There's so many opportunities for you to get connected or to get other people connected as well. So make sure y'all do that. And I just want to thank everyone that's been listening for this season. Thank y'all so much for listening every week, inviting me into your homes, your kitchens, your cars, your earbuds, however you've been tuning in. Thank y'all each week. And Brittany, big thanks to you. Thank you for being the banger episode for the final finale episode. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate you.
Yes, this was awesome. Make sure that y'all click all the links, as I mentioned. And after y'all do that, if you have not already, make sure you follow Christian Goals Pop on Facebook and Instagram at Christian Goals Pop. You can check us out on YouTube at Christian Goals Pop and on our website, christiangoalspop.com. And there's also resources there, including our ebook, Scripture Made Simple, for you to check out to really understand God's word. So all the links of all the things are available in the podcast notes. Thank you all so much for a great season. And I look forward to seeing y'all in the fall. Bye.